the Mike Tech Show, show number 465. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. And you can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And don't forget to check out the wiki, and that is at mtswiki.com. There you will find all of the links to all of the past shows and all of the content and the show notes. Check that out. Great website. I have a couple stories that I have to share with you from this past week. Before we get started, you've heard me talk about Instant House Call, and you know how much I love it for remote support. Now, Instant House Call adds a killer new feature. You will absolutely love it. It is automatic PC repair, and this is Foolish IT's remote D7 utility. And you can remotely fix computers. That's right. It's very easy to clean malware off a system, to repair what's wrong for a system. And it has over 100 built-in fixes for doing everything you name to, like I said, removing malware, fixing Windows errors. You name it, it's got it. And you can do this easily to remote in. Right now, start providing remote support with auto PC repair for your customers today with Instant House Call. And my listeners can try it free for 15 days. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Just click on the link for Instant House Call on my main website at MikeTechShow.com. And then fill out the information, use that promo code MikeTechShow, and you can get started today for trying it for free for 15 days. So Monday, I thought I had a normal schedule for installing a new computer for a client, and then I had to drop off a laptop, and my son Michael, my oldest son, was with me to help me get that new system installed and hang out with me for the day while I visited clients. I received a phone call from one of my newer clients that said, "Mike, we need help retrieving the email for the owner from a server that was retired back in January, and I had nothing to do with this project, an IT company that will remain nameless, and a employee that was supposedly IT savvy was helping this small client do a conversion from one server to another, and actually, it wasn't even a server. They converted them from a server to a desktop, retiring Exchange server, converting them to Google Apps. And that's okay, but there was a problem. They were supposed to have exported the mail from the information store of the Exchange server and get it in the hands of the owner. The owner now has this complicated business transaction that he has to get to his email. Now, we had talked about this the previous week on Friday, but there wasn't that dire urgency. And I was supposed to be on site Tuesday to install a new rack, which, if you listen to Tech Vets, you'll hear that on Monday that rack came in and it was just completely destroyed. So having the rack completely demolished changed our schedule. And that was actually the opening topic for Tech Vets last night. the COO of the company said, Mike, is there any way you can get here and just do whatever it takes to retrieve the email for the owner? And I said, I'll do that as soon as I'm done installing this system, and I'll call you. Once we were all done, it was about 3 o'clock. Unbelievable. Their server was in a hosted by a company. They owned the server, and it's an old Dell PowerEdge, 10-year-old PowerEdge server running Windows Server 2003 and Exchange Server. This company, that I can't give the name because it would be just too devastating, they had it in their data center upstairs, and they kind of helped the owner with the hosting of that web, of the email and of their server, and then they just had lines coming directly downstairs to the office that was beneath them. With this, the COO takes us upstairs, my son and I, to go log into the server. They give us the admin password. They have that, and that was great. And now, when we try to log in, we can't get a monitor. And oh, by the way, as we go to the data center, there's no lights. My son and I have to get both our smartphones with our flashlight utilities to be able to see going into the data center. You can't make this stuff up. It was like 100 degrees in this data center. We're talking a raised floor. Clearly, there is no air conditioning, and there's no lights, and there's servers all over the place running, and cables all over the ground, tiles up where you could easily trip and get seriously hurt as you try to walk around. The person who took us in there is just unplugging cables wildly, trying to hook up a mouse, keyboard, and monitor for us to be able to access the server. Sweat is pouring off me as I sit and try to log into this server. Then I was like, boy, even if I get in there, I better have an external drive. So I give it to my son to go around to the back of the wrap, and he plugs in one of my external drives. No joy. Plug in another. Nothing. It's not showing up. None of my external devices are showing up. And as the sweat just is pouring off us, I said, we got to get this downstairs. Now, there's no elevator between the second and first floor. And it's so dark. It's so horrible, the conditions. I said, let's just shut this server down and let's get it downstairs. They said, no problem. I shut the server down, we unplug everything, and I put it on a chair. It's 100 pounds, so my son and I are lifting this server up, we put it on this chair, and I roll it out of the data center just so I can get to daylight. And now, how do we get it downstairs? There's an employee for that company upstairs, which is a hosting company. And by the way, if this is what a data center really looks like for some hosting companies, we're all in trouble, folks. If this is the real pictures of a hosting company's data center, oh my God, is all I can say. So now the one employee offers to get a cart that is nearby. He gets the cart, and this is just one of those little hand carts that we get the server on it, but it makes it still very difficult to move it. But now I'm afraid it's going to fall off. And he says, hey, in my truck, I have some bungee cord. He goes, we wait, he gets the bungee cord, and we bungee it up. And my son and I take it to the two flights of steps that we got to come down. And I'm now worried about just going down each one of these steps. So my son had a great idea. He says, Dad, why don't I just lift the bottom, you hold the top, and we walk it. And we just basically, we used the little hand rack, this little cart as a stretcher. And I'm at one end, he's at the other, and we walk it down. We get to one flight, a landing, and we take a break. And I mean, we're dripping wet at this point, of sweat. Then he takes the other end, and we get it down. We go in. Now, the COO and the owner, they're laughing, but they're, you know, with us. They know just how disgraceful this is. And now the server is at least in my control. Boot up the server and I get no networking. As a matter of fact, it takes over a half hour for the server to boot. It's rebuilding Active Directory indexes. It's just, oh, Exchange won't start. Every service fails. I'm plugging in all these external drives trying to get anything to work. Nothing will show up. Now, sometimes it takes someone who's not an IT person to look at something simply, as we're trying everything. And I'm working my little heart out on this server, checking event logs. And oh, by the way, the event viewer won't let you open up the details of any event. So I'm just thinking how bad. There's an orange light glowing as an error on the server. I don't think I had an active networking port for what I was plugging in. I reattached the network cable. And then once I did that and we shut the server down, the COO said, why don't you just keep rebooting it until maybe we get to the point where things start working? Maybe we're going to get lucky. And as ridiculous as that sounded, sometimes you got to try these things. And I'm saying to myself, I'm going to reboot this and see what happens. And we rebooted. And it actually, on this particular reboot, it booted up significantly faster. We start worrying that it's a USB 1.1 port, and anything we're plugging in, it really can't see it. We find a 4 gig older USB stick that maybe we're going to get lucky here. We plug the old USB stick in, and it takes a moment, and guess what? We're able to read that USB stick. I find actually 4 PST files that were supposedly exported, that they paid this IT company to export the COO, the owner's email. To back up a little bit, last week, those supposed files that were on the new desktop server were there. They were only like 300 meg, 400 meg, another one was 300 meg. I look at these files and they are over a gig. Each one was over a gig, and there was one of them that was over 2 gigs. So now, I'm like, if they were the three files, no wonder I had trouble trying to read them and no one could read them. I actually took those PST files last week, and I should have started out this way. Last week, those supposed files that were from the server, I ran ScanPST. It wouldn't work. I've ran some pretty high-end utilities trying to fix it. I tried to read it in every version of Outlook known to man, and these PST files were unreadable. Something was wrong. Well, guess what? They were one-third the size of what they should have been because they were the same names. So now I feel like I have the right PST files if only I can get them off the system. We wait, and it takes a long time, and this 2 gig file moves over. We get it, and it fails in the final seconds, copying to the USB stick. I said, you know what? I got to see if we can at least access this with a network. I try to map to a share of the new peer desktop that's running Windows 8. And I try to get to those shares, and I have the admin password to the share, and it just not happening. We can't map a drive from the server to the workstation. Now, remember, we had a USB stick that worked, but the file didn't copy. I go to the Windows 8 machine, and I said, well, let me see if I can read a share from the server. I move those PST files to another directory, brand new directory, and I create a share. I give everyone access to the share. So I just change the permissions. I give it a simple share name, and I give it permissions for everyone to be able to read and see it. On the Windows 8 box, I can see the share. I can see the files, and they're the size they're supposed to be. I now kick off a copy, And Windows 8 has a phenomenal copy. With all the bad that we can say about Windows 8 with the menu interface, they've done a phenomenal job with file transfer and being able to copy files. It is really nice. And you can watch the bandwidth as it's going back and forth. I move all of the files and with like no trouble. Outlook is on this Windows 8 machine. Outlook 2007, I believe. I open it up. I can read every single PST perfectly. I create a share where they're at. I go to the laptop of the owner who has Outlook 2010 Windows 7 Professional. This is important for the next story. So I copy those PSTs over to the owner's machine. I attach every one of those PSTs. They're readable. He gets to the email that he's really looking for the information that he needs. The COO comes to my son and I and high-fives us and says, "You guys are friggin' heroes." This was 4 hours. That's all it was. 4 hours from start to finish where I got the PST files, I got them to the owner, and man, are we looking like heroes there. During this time, the owner gets his new laptop in that I kind of helped him. He already wanted this nice, really slimline Dell Latitude. The box arrived from UPS during all of this, and he knew we didn't have time to do any transfer. So now, Tuesday was the day I was supposed to do the rack, and since the rack was destroyed, and that's been now pushed off a week until they get the new rack, he now knows that I'm free on Tuesday because I was supposed to be there all day. So the owner says, "Hey, can you come over and convert me from my older laptop here that's running Windows 7 to the new laptop that's got Office 2013 and Windows 8 Professional?" I said, "No problem." He says, "You can come anytime." Now, I get up in the morning on Tuesday and I take care of a whole bunch of calls before I can even get out the door. So I'm calling some clients, I'm shifting some schedules around, and I make it on site at 11 a.m. and I start the process. Now, as hard as the day before was for 4 hours, you would think with my Fabs auto backup for tech and just moving literally just his Outlook files, right? And his mail setup, we're just going from Outlook 2010 to Outlook 2013. Shouldn't be a problem. Well, I'll go to the finish line first. That was a 6.5 hour process. For the first 2 hours, we're trying to figure out why this email that is set up does not use, there are Google apps for email. They do not have POP or IMAP or Exchange. They're using a service called Google Apps Sync. Google Apps Sync for Outlook does not work with Windows 8. Now, I don't learn that for 2 hours. The next 2 hours are wasted in learning the following. If you create a Google Apps folder in the cloud for Google using Google Apps Sync for Outlook, it will not work with IMAP in Outlook 2013. I can't make this up. It's impossible to make up. I can't believe that he was in this kind of a scenario. So I said, once I've resolved what doesn't work and what can work, I said, I need to get you on a standard platform in your new Outlook, either POP or IMAP. And based on the way I see him operating with his iPad, and by the way, he's very understanding. And he said, "Mike," and the COO warned me of this, it's very typical. This is an owner, and it's kind of funny, and he's a very nice guy. He walks in the room, and the monitors shudder. He's the one who touches a computer and it just stops working. Wherever it could go wrong, I hit it and I hit the wall. So now I want him to use IMAP, and I said, the only way that we're going to get you onto IMAP properly is I got to go pull all of your folders and move them to a standard PST. So I add a brand new PST called Archive. I go and connect via this Google Apps Sync connector, and I take all of his folders and I drag them. Some of them will not even drag down. I have to create the new folder name, go into the folder, tag all of the messages, and copy and paste into the new folder. He's got a lot of mail. So once I have this PST with all of his mail and all of his hierarchy of folders and nothing basically in the cloud up at Gmail, the Google Apps, I now have a PST that I can take over to Outlook 2013. And with no trouble, I connect via IMAP, I take his PST file, and I now redrag them back up to the cloud properly. And this takes a few minutes. So I move all of the mail up. Now he is working the way he should be. The folders were created the right way. He is in a standard setup using just IMAP to his Google Apps. He has his iPad. Everything works. That was 6.5 hours yesterday. So this was my day. And then remember the 4 hours after, at the end of the day, I was working until like 8 o'clock at night. And then last night, we recorded 2 Tech Vet shows after this. And I was up to almost midnight. The last few nights, let's say, I have not had a lot of sleep, but I've gotten a lot of work done and a lot of good work done. And this client is so happy. I've been able to just take care of everything. But I'm still dealing with bad IT mistakes, things that people did non-standard, not the right way. This is the client where the person, their IT person before me, they referred to her, it was a her, as Satan. With all of this, I am still uncovering. This is also the client. I didn't want to reset the password because I don't have the password to the firewall. I didn't have the password to the router. I actually solved the router problem. That's another story. There's so many things that I'm just cleaning up and fixing. And as I run into it, as I run into the issue, I take it head on and I solve it. After each step, I'm looked at as a hero as I solve it. And then I explain and I document everything. I now have a master password sheet that we have. It's a Word document that has a very complex master password to it that I update the COO and CEO weekly as I find more information and uncover more passwords and get everything standardized and put that in that document. I treat like a retainer client because they're going to be a retainer. Here's the thing. We don't know how many hours to put a stake in the ground per month because I'm still stabilizing. So they said, Mike, look, just every week submit an invoice. And then when we know we got everything stabilized, we'll take a breath and determine how many hours we think it'll be. And that'll be the retainer. I got no problem with that. They have been a tremendous client, a great referral from my accountant. That was very, very nice. I've got a lot of referrals from my accountant, and then I also get him referrals. Any client that I run into that needs a CPA or bookkeeper or that type of work, I hand them to my accounting client. So this has been a success story all the way through. Also, it brings to light people that are in the business that shouldn't be making decisions for clients because the client doesn't know any better. They trust this person because they think they know. Just a little addendum here from Chris in the chat. And he has been using Google Apps Sync. So in case with Windows 8. Now, I got to admit, I did not run any updates, and shame on me for not running any updates on the Office once it was installed on this new laptop. And I didn't even think of running an update, and that might have fixed a problem for Google Apps. So this issue might have been resolved, and I didn't realize it by running an update. Keep that in mind if you're in this situation at all, to make sure to do the updates. But I'm going to say this. Even if it worked, I am glad that I have him standard using IMAP for getting everything for his email. Because I just want to get him more standard. And so even though that it worked out in the end, well, that makes sense. So he just said the Google Apps Sync did not work with Outlook 2013 and the new one does. It's interesting. It would not even install. It would error out on the actual trying to run it and execute it. It would try to install. It would actually stop. And I'm wondering, is as it was trying to add itself to Outlook 2013, where I possibly needed updates, and that's where it was failing, where it was trying to add that connector in Outlook 2013. Wanted to add that in because that came from the chat, and it's very possible we'll come back to this topic later. It brings up an interesting point, something that as I was trying to just work the problem and solve it, you got to run the updates. It's like Windows 7. I can't wait until they come out with a Service Pack 2, because even once you get a system with Service Pack 1, you got to run 103 updates or 109 updates. That's insane. You know, we're at a point now where it's a Service Pack 2 is long overdue. So hopefully we will get into a situation where we'll be able to install that. So this way it'll be a lot easier. I know I'm spending a lot of time just these two issues, but it brings up how you approach some problems. And sometimes it's the simple things like rebooting a server a couple times to get to a point where maybe something starts to get resolved. Doing Windows updates before you embark upon everything. As I was in the heat of the battle, doing the updates didn't even cross my mind, because that was just something that would have slowed me down, but maybe in the long run would have sped things up. The main thing is keep plugging away. I would not leave until the problem is solved, and making sure that you're dedicated to your customer and that they see it, that they know they're the most important thing to you and that you're going to resolve their issue. I took each problem like it was my own and took ownership of it and followed through until it was resolved and until my client was completely satisfied. And then at the end of the day, they're not going to want to go anywhere else. They're not going to listen to anyone else. They're going to make sure that I am involved in all IT decisions. And if I am, I'm never going to take them down a non-standard path or a way that anyone after me would question, saying, wow, what did that IT guy do? They're going to look and say, hey, you had a pretty good IT guy who made good decisions for you. And that's what I want. I want to make sure that I'm making the right decisions, no matter how small, whether it's settings and setup in Outlook or getting their email configured or doing anything to bigger decisions as it comes later. As we were starting to discuss where he's going to do hosting for a new project that the owner has, and he mentioned the person's name for the hosting company that was upstairs, and I said, over my dead body, I said, my job is to make sure that you don't make bad decisions, and you can't allow that company to do any more hosting for you. And I described what I seen as a complete disgrace, the way that data center is organized and run. I said, I can't allow you to have any equipment hosted with that company. That can't happen. That will not happen on my watch. And I made sure we were in complete agreement. And he assured me that any decisions going further, I'm going to be part of that decision for selecting the company. Things are all good with my client. That's it. I'll tell you, coming up, I got a busy week. Next week, I am going to be my first day on a new client, a very big client that I'm going to be working. Our kickoff meeting is next Tuesday. On Wednesday, I hope to be installing the new rack for this client because the replacement rack is coming in on Monday, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it arrives safely and that I am able to install all the equipment into that new rack. Then I'm going on a short vacation for a few days next week. So the Mike Tech Show is going to be recorded live on Tuesday night next week. Tuesday night at 8 p.m., same time, same place. That's when the Mike Tech Show will be recorded. Tech Vets, since I recorded two shows last night with Carrie, the first show was already released. The second one is all done, and what I will do, I will post it up Tuesday night. Sometime, maybe like right before I go live with the Mike Tech Show, I will post up Tech Vets, and you'll have another Tech Vet show. And I already know that if you listen to Tech Vets 106, we're getting a lot of feedback on that already. Tech Vets 107, we're just covering email, but I know Tech Vets 108, we're going to come back to that topic because everybody's sending in some great feedback for that. To help support the show, please remember the Amazon link, amazon.micnation.net. When you go to Amazon, your price is the same. There's no change in the prices. You still get those great Amazon prices. They're great customer service and shipping, but a commission comes back to help support the show when you use that link. So to remember that, bookmark it. It's amazon.micnation.net, and I want to thank you for your continued support. I am going to play some independent music. This song is titled When You've Got Trouble, and it's by one of my favorite artists, Liz Longley. She's born and raised in Philadelphia, and I can't wait. I'm going to be seeing her live for the first time July 25th, and that's a Thursday night. So that week, we're going to be recording on Wednesday night. I will be seeing her perform live at the Sellersville Theater. So with that, give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
You've been kicking in your sleep, tossing and turning relentlessly. And I know you'd be lying if you told me you were fine. And you've been screaming in your head, swallowing the words that I know you would have said if you would just breathe. Oh, my heart is tangled all around you. When you've got trouble, I've got trouble too. Oh, my life is arm in arm with you. When you've got trouble, I've got trouble too. So what do you need? I'll kiss you awake when you've had a bad dream, and I'll tell you a story, make it up as I go, or I'll sing you a song that I know that you know. It goes, my heart is tangled all around you. When you've got trouble, I've got trouble too. All my life is arm in arm with you. When you've got trouble, I've got trouble too. You and I live like the tree and the vine. Oh, my darling, we're so delicately intertwined. I'll ease your pain, 'cause you ease mine. Oh, my heart is tangled all around you. When you've got trouble, I've got trouble too. Oh, my life is arm in arm with you. When you've got trouble, I've got trouble too.
That was Liz Longley and the song When You've Got Trouble. And I will link to her website in the show notes. And that's just LizLongley.com. There you can find all of her great music. I want to thank everybody for supporting the show and downloading the show, staying subscribed. Thank you so much. Have a great 4th of July holiday if you're celebrating that in the States. Thank you so much, and I will see you next week. If you want to tune in live, it's Tuesday night, and I'll get the podcast posted out as soon as possible tonight. I'm doing this on Wednesday night right now, July 3rd. And then next week, I hope to get it posted up on a Tuesday night later on. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.